Hello, everyone. Hello there. Yes, this is Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan, don't ever remember owning a droid? Chewbacca here is first mate on a ship that might suit us. All right, so let's stop with that. Why did that come out? I don't know. It is show 971. It is Treks in Sci-Fi. This is Rico. And it is September 28th, 2025. Can you believe... Well, technically summer is over, but it's sort of surprising here in Michigan. We've had like a string of warmer days, especially for this time of year. It's been 80-ish for the last few days. Should be that way today. And I'm actually going down to Texas this week. I'll talk about that, a little work trip this week. But on the show today, and I feel like the volume is really low here for some reason. I don't know why. I'm going to turn up the volume, as they say, or something. I don't know. I'll try to just talk louder. So today on the show, it's going to be a little bit of a shorter show, I think. I jumped around a few topics, I thought, and truth be told, since I'm going out of town tomorrow, I don't know what it is, but there's always a bunch of stuff to do. I'm working on a little outside of the house project. Replacing a little bit of rotted trim boards that were near a gutter that was getting basically wet every time it rained a little bit. But anyway, that's one little thing I got to take care of today. I'm flying out tomorrow, so going to be kind of what I call my grab bag shows, where I'm just going to talk about some TV and movies that I've watched recently. And yeah, that's going to be it, basically. And I don't know, other things will pop into my head, I'm sure, along the way. But thanks for joining me, and let's do this thing.
I'm Captain Kirk.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present the winners of the 74th Annual Hunger Games.
We are the men in black.
I'm the doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose.
Run for your life.
My name is Optimus Prime. I am the Putus of Borg. Resistance is futile.
Jedi's strength flows from the Force, but beware of the dark side.
Iron Man, that's kind of catchy. It's got a nice ring to it. I mean, it's not technically accurate. It's a gold titanium alloy.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
This is Reach Home. You're listening to Treks in Sci-Fi. All right, again, welcome to the show, everyone. Appreciate everybody that joins. Been doing this for over 20 years now, which I was thinking about this. I was trying to think back. You know, I did that anniversary show about a month ago, and I was like, gosh, things are so different 20 years ago, personally and in the world, and just, yeah. I know a lot of people these days, it's, what do they call it, doom scrolling online, you know, a lot of unrest, and, you know, certainly in the U.S. and I think in other areas as well, not to get too political this quickly, but yeah, I you know, I'm just, I know Chris, my buddy, says, you know, he gets tired of it, and I think my wife does, and I do too, but it's kind of hard to avoid. So let's stick to the positives. I hope everybody's well. Let's go through the generic stuff. This is Rico, your host, if you're maybe new to the show. There's a Facebook group. We used to have a forum. That's still there, but only me and Pete use it. I post, you know, usually post up that I put the podcast up there, and that's about it on the forum. But Facebook group is pretty good. That's probably the best place. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I usually post up the new podcast there on Facebook. You can find it in, you know, podcast land out there. I'm still adjusting the feed. Long story short, I made some changes to the feed ages ago, and it needs to be edited. The last couple hundred shows I've fixed, go further back and you might have trouble. You could probably just get it off the website directly. But I'm still working on that. Anyway, treksf@gmail.com if you ever want to email me. Also, Patreon, patreon.com/treksinscifi for those that want to support and donate to the show. And you guys are amazing. I know I keep saying it. I'm really going to try to do this. It'll probably, let's shoot for November now, because there's only, let's see, when we get into October, I think I'm going to do a kind of a classic show in a couple of weeks, you know, with some Star Trek episode, I think. And then that'll, 2 weeks after that, will be the Halloween show, which is always fun. Try to do a video show for that. And then that puts us into November. So I'm going to try to do a Patreon show. But anyway, patreon.com/treksinscifi. Thanks to those that donate. And lastly, Vimeo. I put up videos there from convention stuff, other music videos and things that I've made over the years, vimeo.com/Trekkie. I do have a YouTube channel. I think it's just Treks in Sci-Fi. I don't use it a lot, frankly. One of my problems, I've said it before, but one of the problems I was running into with YouTube was, clips and music and things like that, a lot of stuff getting sort of bounced and flagged. It's always amazing to me because there's no rhyme or reason to it, and I'm not making any money off of off of any of this, really. You know, the little bit from Patreon, by the way, thanks to you guys, the dues for my, I guess you call it dues or bill for the yearly hosting of the podcast came due, so that helps with that. But there's all kinds of stuff on YouTube that you know, is copyrighted technically material with many more views than my little stuff. And it doesn't get taken down or flagged. So I'm not talking about stuff that's put up by the people who made the music or anything like that. But people who are, you know, they're definitely making a little money off of other things like that. It's hard to do what I do without playing clips or shows or music or whatever and comment on it. But anyway, enough about that. So that was a lot of pre-stuff. So how's everybody? Like I said, I've got a work trip this week. I'm going down to, I fly into Dallas, Texas. Good old Dallas. Remember that show with the man from Atlantis with Patrick Duffy? And gosh, I miss that show. Anyway, why doesn't somebody remake a show like that? I mean, we have kind of a lot of comic book type things like, you know, Namor, and I think it's time. Arthur Curry, the Aquaman. Yes. So with everything streaming, you know, you don't even really need to remake it, but some kind of a show like that. Speaking of shows, and I'll get more into this in a minute, but there is a sort of an undersea show that I started to watch. I watched the first episode of it. But we'll get into that when I talk about TV. I've got a list of TV things I'm watching here. Quite a long one, actually, right now. I have finished a couple things. I actually just finished Wednesday, which I'll talk about here in a bit. But how did I get into that topic? Lynn, my wife, always says my brain, or the way I think sometimes, is hard to follow. I don't know. There's a rhyme to it. Rhyme and reason to it of where I get over to. Dallas. I'm flying into – there we go. Dallas. Man from Atlantis, because the Dallas TV show with Patrick Duffy, who starred in the Man from Atlantis, right? So I'm flying there tomorrow for work. I'll be there most of this week. Haven't been there really since I started with this new company. I just thought it was time to go down and visit and see a few people and talk about some projects and stuff. But so, it's a little warmer even down in Texas than it is up here. And that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to really be outside. So... And I long ago, I used to go down to Florida during the summer and work outside all day with doing automotive kind of surveys for paint and things. That's my day job, as they say. So yeah, that's what's going on this week. So because of that, I got a lot of stuff I got to get kind of taken care of today. So I did still want to do a podcast because it was time. It's been 2 weeks. And that's my schedule now. And by the way, I just throw it out there. And, you know, if anybody ever wants to guest host still, I'm happy to do that. I'm going to try to this year. I said this, I think, maybe I said this on the live anniversary show, but I'm going to try to, I got to map it out a little bit, but I'm going to try pretty hard. We're 29 shows away from the 1,000th show. So I'm really going to try hard to make like the next year's anniversary show line up with my 1,000th podcast. All that will really mean, I can still keep this 2-week pace, but I'll have to slide in a couple more, 3 or 4 other shows in between. So if anybody wants to do a guest spot, that's always available. Welcome, Mark, you know, good old Mark Daniels. You know, he did some great ones and really appreciated all that he did and other people have done them. So if anyone's interested, or if you've got a podcast you do want to slip it in here that's sort of kind of like in this area, I used to do that with Jen and Angela from Anomaly. I've done it with Chris and Joe and their shows. So it's that's always possible too. So, all right, a lot of preamble. I feel like am I just stalling for time? No, I am not. Was that just a week ago? Was that Emmy Award thing? Did I talk about that a couple of weeks ago or a week ago that was on? You know, the guy who did it, he's a comedian. What's his name? He sort of has an odd name. I don't really know him very well, but he did this thing where he was playing with donating to the, I think it was the Boys and Girls Club of America or whatever the official name is. And he was using it as a little joke kind of gimmick to keep people to have shorter speeches. I like the idea in concept, but then it just became throughout the show, everyone was kind of artificially kind of like going faster. And while I do think some of what's always, with award shows, what's always bothered me a little bit is I feel like some people keep it pretty brief and concise. And if they go a smidge over whatever the time is or whatever, you know, and there's some that go actually pretty quick, but then there's always a few that like get up there and they're like talking to you on the phone, like just jabbing and jibber jabbing for forever. And those are the ones that really need to be played off, as they call it. So, but his gimmick, I think it kind of backfired truthfully, because then it just became all about that. Cause he was basically taking money away from the donation. If you went longer and if you went shorter, he would add money back in. And it was, yeah, I think he was putting everyone at 45 seconds, which it's amazing how much you can really actually say and get out in 45 seconds. If you're prepared, most of them actually, I feel like did a pretty good job in that amount of time. I don't even know if they tell people, like, do you know, even if he hadn't done the gimmick, I don't even know if they tell people, hey, you guys have got a minute or you've got 45 seconds to you know, thank people or whatever you want to do. So, but yeah, award shows are kind of a mixed bag for me. I used to like them more. I think now I watch the red carpet stuff. It's kind of fun to see the celebrities a bit, hear them talk in a more casual way. And then when they do the show itself, I'll usually watch the first little hour or so. And then there's a whole middle part that just gets kind of like goes on and on and on. But I think the last Academy Awards, because we had a little chat thing going, I think it was the last one. I watched just about all of that. And I hadn't done that in ages, way, way back when I was in like college. I can remember staying up late and watching the Academy Awards, the whole thing. I mean, I still love movies. I love television. But there seems to be so many forces at play now. And I don't want these awards to be popularity contests. But I think the biggest thing that bothers me sometimes about awards is, and I watch a certain group of things, right? Television and movies. Everybody does. But there's some people, I'll point one out, Colin Farrell, who was the Penguin, you know, he was up for Best Actor in a drama series, I guess it was drama probably, right? And that Christina, I don't know how you say her last name, Melody, something like that. She's in that also in that show, and she won, and she was great. She was fantastic. But Colin Farrell was also fantastic, and he's wearing all that crazy heavy makeup and everything too on top of it all. I almost wish if my dream of awards would be they would award things to like a multiple people, not just one. Because I think there's people who do like the nominees and the people will get up there and say, you know, it's just great to be nominated. I always feel like the nominees are the winners in a way. I mean, sometimes I kind of agree. It's tricky to really judge it because, I mean, for the most part, I haven't seen all the performances or I haven't seen all the movies or all the television shows like The Bear or The Pitt. Right. I haven't watched those shows. So when they win, I'm like, OK, you know, I don't know those shows. So it's hard to judge. But so it's a little, you know, when I say somebody like Colin Farrell should win or deserve something, too, it's a tricky one. I don't know. I've never been a big fan of singling one individual out, you know, in a way. It's a weird thing, kind of. You know, I know it actually helps people's careers in entertainment. Obviously, if you're, you know, you can say you're Emmy Award winner or Academy Award winner, blah, 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 forever you get that tag. I don't know why I'm really going on about this one so much, but it's just, I think the awards have, you know, people will always say, oh, you know, this person should have won. And again, it's very selective. It's what you've seen. I do try to make a point out of seeing most of the best pictures, although that's getting harder and harder just because they've upped the nominations to 10 now. So there's, you know, and sometimes those movies, some of them I'm not even really all that interested in seeing. I don't want to watch something that, like, I have no interest in this movie at all just to watch it, you know. So I'll skip those. But if there's interest there, I'll try to get around to watching them before the awards. Sometimes it's hard because they had limited release or they're not on streaming yet or they, you know, they have only been out a short time. And then you've got movies from a year back or whatever. And even those sometimes can be hard to find and watch. So, but yeah, all right. That was a lot of blather for the award show, which I didn't really plan on talking about. But I guess it's a good segue point to talking about television and movies of things that I've watched recently. So with that, let me just pause here. We'll take a short break, or I'll take a short break. You guys can take a short break too if you want. And then I'll be back and we'll talk about that, movies and TVs. I might talk a little bit about comic books. Been a lot of comics I've been reading lately. A lot of new stuff out. But I'll be back in very shortly. just maybe 30 seconds or something. See you in a minute. Talk to you in a minute. Not see you. Talk to you.
Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, and I too survived the Con of Wrath. In fact, we're even making a movie about it. And you're listening to Rico on Treks and Sci-Fi.
All right, folks, I'm back. Television. What's everybody watching on television? A lot of streaming things. So I guess let's talk about Wednesday first, since I finished season two. I'll try to keep this spoiler-free. It'll be pretty spoiler-free. Should be, yeah. I don't think I really need to tell you about main plot exactly, except to say that season two of Wednesday was pretty much a direct follow-up, and I would say it sort of delves into what happened in season one more so, kind of explains things and give you some more backstory in a way than season one, and mostly with the same, you know, there were a few new additions to the cast and new players involved, but, you know, they were extensions sort of. I'm trying to dodge around spoilers, but they were kind of extensions around the first season people. I with that said, I guess I was thinking about this. I watched the last episode of season two. There were just 8, I think, total episodes. Was that the same, I think, after season one? Maybe. Jenna Ortega is still great as Wednesday. I mean, she's fantastic. And the cast is great in general. The I would say the freshness in a way of season one was kind of, maybe I enjoyed the first season a little bit more than season two, but I enjoyed both quite a bit. There are things that I really liked about season two. There was definitely more involvement with the whole Addams family than just Wednesday. And just kind of like the Harry Potter books and movies, although the books did it a little bit more. But I always find it funny when they have these shows or movies set in schools. They're never really in class or in school, you know, basically. And I get that could be kind of boring, but at least in Harry Potter, they tried to show that here and there, right? Them learning things, especially when they're as young as they were. I mean, maybe because this at this point, there's, I guess you would call it late high school, maybe, is when they're supposed to be age-wise. I mean, Jenna Ortega, I think, is in her, like, mid-20s or later 20s, something like that. I mean, she's obviously very small in stature, and that helps. So she doesn't look, you know, that old. She could certainly play somebody who's in high school, I think, with, you know, whatever. But it's just funny to me when they're in, you know, they're set at this Nevermore Academy place, right? And it's the same old thing. It was like this kind of in Riverdale and any other show. Although usually when they start, they look a little bit younger. I think they were a little, this cast was a little older to begin with. But that's not a big deal at all. But yeah, it's super fun. I think it's really well made. I mean, it looks great. Tim Burton's very involved. It's just a fantastic show and fun to watch. I think sometimes they take Wednesday to a little bit too much of an extreme, just a tiny bit. It's not really a knock at all, but I find it kind of like, you know, she plays this very cool, like she doesn't care about anything, but she kind of does, you know, she really does actually. But I did enjoy seeing the other cast, the other Adamses being more involved. And yeah, it was fun. A lot of good stuff. They didn't quite resolve things quite as much as maybe I thought they would, but they already are saying, you know, and have approved, I guess, another season. Hopefully, I don't know how long of a gap there was between one and two. It doesn't seem like it was that big of a gap, not compared to some shows when it happens. I was talking to Chris the other day about this, you know. Streaming is a weird thing. We had COVID times. We had writers and actor strikes. I know that's those effects are still being felt, but I think we're sort of getting back, hopefully, into a groove. We can't have these huge long gaps between series. It's rough enough that we're only getting like 8 or 10 episodes. That's just the world, I guess. Now, I just saw a post online this morning about some of the recent Star Wars shows and how much they actually cost to make. Andor was listed for season total to make Andor for both seasons was like $650 million. That seems nuts to me. I don't know if that's an accurate figure at all. It seems way too high to me. Maybe I should check Wikipedia. I don't know. It's very hard to know what you can believe or trust as far as stuff like that. This story was mostly about, it was commenting how The Acolyte, I think, that Star Wars show, which I have said before wasn't my favorite by any means, didn't really care for it for, well, there's whole podcasts about that. I just found the characters really hard to like, want to watch about them because they were all really not very good people. You know, so they had The Acolyte, I think, at 230 or 240 million. And again, the Andor at like 650 for two seasons worth. I mean, I know there's location stuff, but they use so much of that volume thing. I mean, these things are costing more than movies. Like, and I guess that sort of makes sense. I wonder what Strange New Worlds for a season costs as a comparison for 10 episodes. Maybe when I take another break here, I'll take a quick look at stuff like that and see what Wikipedia has to say about that. But I mean, the cost of these things is really going up. And it also, just to continue that train a little bit, I wonder if it's, I mean, yeah, they got to build all the stuff to begin with, like for the Wednesday show, Strange New Worlds, for Mandalorian, Andor. All these things have some sets and stuff and props and costumes. Obviously, the cast, the crew. But once you get those things built, like for Strange New Worlds, for example, I mean, they have occasionally done some location stuff, but they don't really do that very much. So it's all on sound stages for the most part. I mean, I guess their fixed costs, to pay the cast and crew, obviously post-production costs and things, but those are kind of known once you built all the stuff. It's why I still think, even though I saw something recently that supposedly said that for some of the Paramount new management or whoever is the in charge now or whatever, they were pitched the year one kind of show, you know, basically picking up with Paul Wesley probably playing James Kirk. And, you know, with Ethan Peck as Spock, they've got a lot of the cast already in place. And when Strange New Worlds ends in another season plus, you know, they're doing another full 10-episode fourth season, which is either done filming, I think, or close to done, and then a shorter fifth season of 6 episodes. But so we're probably 2 years away from it being finished, right? We'll probably get season 4 sometime later next year, and then season 5 maybe the following year. Maybe it won't be too long of a wait between those two. But supposedly Paramount people were pitched, doing a James Kirk, et cetera, you know, kind of the early days of him being aboard the Enterprise. And they supposedly didn't want to do it. They're saying no. But I still feel like that's going to happen because everything's built and they've got a cast in place. And they've got – it seems like a slightly like a no-brainer. Now, I'm a big TOS fan. I know, you know, people say, oh, it's a different universe and they're messing with canon. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Whether they are or not canon, let's not, it doesn't matter. Is it enjoyable television? Is it enjoyable Star Trek? I mean, some people get super hung up on that. But I think that show would be fun and I'd be interested to seeing, you know, to see what they do with it. Would another show be just as fun? You know, something post Picard season 3, whether they call it Legacy or anything else. I mean, I would love that as well. I just kind of want to do something that's completely fresh and new. And that would be my way of, you know, if I was given Star Trek and said, here, do what you want, I would like something new. I would just put a new starship out there, a whole new crew. You know, maybe they're second cousins of, you know, Picard or somebody or the other. You know, there's some tiny, tiny connections, but I wouldn't overdo it. It wouldn't be like Riker's son and Riker and, you know, although they don't have any kids, right? They have that girl, right? Yes, they have the girl. But anyway, so that's what I would do. I would do something that's post-Picard. Yeah, maybe even, you know, kind of like what Roddenberry did when he did TNG, you know, make it 50 or so years or something past Picard time even. So we'll see. All right, let's go through some of the other TV that I'm watching. I started to watch season 2 of Gen 5. What do you call it? Gen V, Gen 5. That's a spinoff from The Boys, where there are people with powers that are going to this. Also a university, which they're never in class. Godalkin, I think that's the name, right? It's a crazy wild show, just like The Boys. Super gross, not for kids, adult, very adult. The really sad thing is that one of the actors, who was also on that Sabrina show, he passed away. So they kind of weave that into the show. He was in season 1, but he's obviously not in season 2, so... but I've only watched the first episode of season 2, so, but it still looks like, you know, what I expect and looks enjoyable to me. This is not sci-fi, but I am watching it. The Terminal List, I think it's called Dark Passage. This is more about the Ben Edwards character, who is like Chris Pratt's buddy in the first season of this, and kind of some more backstory on him. It's good. I like it. It's not sci-fi or anything. It kind of reminds me of the SEAL Team show that's no longer on the air. But yeah, thought I'd mention that. Wednesday, I already talked about it. I got a little list here. Sandman, season two. Let's not talk about all the Neil Gaiman jibber jabber out there. I love saying jibber jabber. It's just fun. But the comic is amazing, and season one was amazing. This show, Sandman, it's one of the most beautiful shows to watch. Just the production of it is amazing. I would love to pick it up on like a 4K set when season. I've got two episodes left. Actually, there are 12 episodes in season two, and I've just got two left. But amazing cast, looks beautiful, interesting, cool story still. If you're into that, I mean, if you've never read any of the Neil Gaiman Sandman comics, I think you could still get into the show. There's also a great audio production of Sandman as well on Audible if you want to check that out. I've listened to that as well. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool. I think it's really, really cool. All right, let's talk about one of my favorites currently, Peacemaker with John Cena. Season two, which I think we just got the sixth episode, I think it was. It's moving fast, it seems like. I think that was the sixth episode. I'm not sure. I really need to do some Priest stuff before I start doing a podcast, but I want to know how many episodes. Hang on, I'm going to pause this real quick. All right, I'm back. I had to check out a few things because I kept, you know, saying, hey, I should check that or know that. All right, so it looks like Andor did cost like $650 million for two seasons. Holy moly. I mean, it was amazing. It was great. But I did not expect it to be that much. Peacemaker, back to that. It's eight episodes. So we've already had six, so there's only two more. And that kind of seems to make sense based on what's going on the show. I wish the last couple of episodes, though, were really short. They were only like 30, 35 minutes long. You should definitely watch, if you're watching Peacemaker, well, if you enjoyed season one, you're probably watching season two, or maybe you haven't started yet. I won't spoil anything, but definitely watch. I don't remember if it was like this in season one, but watch through the ends, through the credits for Peacemaker, because there's always a little sort of bit that they show at the end, which is usually some scene from the episode, and they just sort of extend it. It's pretty funny. It's more of a almost blooper stuff, but I enjoy it. So watch through the end of the episodes. I think it's every episode they do that. But season two is I mean, this show is kooky. It's goofy. It's wacky. I mean, it's ridiculous, honestly. But John Cena sells it, and he's just so natural, and the whole cast is great. It's just one of the goofiest, wackiest shows, and I mean that in the most endearing, good way. You know, I really didn't like him in Suicide Squad because of things that happened. I won't spoil that in that movie. But he's sort of on a sort of a redemption path in this show. So there's only two episodes. I just saw something too when I was Googling that it doesn't look like there's plans to do another season. That Peacemaker, they're going to slide him in somehow into the James Gunn DCU movies, perhaps, to some level. I mean, he's already been in, you know, Suicide Squad. So, but yeah, I really enjoy this show a lot. It's one of my favorites and look forward to it each week to watch. So, yeah, it's and James Gunn's doing a lot of, I don't know if he's doing all of the writing, but most of the writing. And I think he's directed a few of them. In the season, I think he directed the most recent one, but yeah, his it's just, and I mean, I know Chris and I did a whole podcast about the Superman movie, and I mostly enjoyed that movie. I think it was good. There's a couple little things, as you know, there's a podcast about it. I won't go into it, but there's a few things I didn't really care for, would have changed and done differently. But I still think the basics are there. It's certainly more enjoyable to watch than the, I mean, I thought Henry Cavill was a great Superman, but I think they just didn't write a good movie for him, truthfully. He certainly looked the part. I think he's got the acting ability and chops but Henry Cavill is a bit, and I don't know if how much of this was the movie or the story, but he's a bit low key in a way. I mean, David Corenswet, is that how you say his name? And again, it depends on the writing and the story and what the director wants to do. But I mean, he's a much more emotional Superman than Henry Cavill was ever able to show in his. And I like that. I mean, I think that that's good, you know, but I, yeah. But so Gunn, James Gunn, Peacemaker. Yeah, good, fun stuff. Watching that and staying with the DC, I'm finally getting around back to finishing the last season of Harley Quinn, which I don't think they're doing anymore. It's season 5. That's the animated show with Kelly Cuoco, is that how you say, from Big Bang Theory, doing Harley Quinn's voice, and mostly a relationship between her and Poison Ivy and just some wacky shenanigans. I've loved that show since it started. It's just, and it's very adult, you know, and there's a lot of language and violence. So it's not a, don't let your kids watch that cartoon. So it's, yeah. And is that, and I wanted to talk about Nautilus, which I'm finally starting to watch. I watched the first episode. It's okay so far. It's not blowing me away or anything like that. But yeah, that's, and there's other, some other shows I'm watching too beyond that, that are not really sci-fi, I guess. The Morning Show is back on Apple TV. I like that show a lot. That's a good one. I'm trying to think of what else. There's a few other things. Nothing really major. I think I ran down the list pretty well. There's a few little hanging on things that. Oh, Tulsa King is back too with Sylvester Stallone. That's also a goofy, wacky show, kind of ridiculous in a way, but it's still kind of fun. So Stallone is always so serious in the show. It's just, and it's just, again, these. I've always said on the podcast, and I've talked about over the years, you know, I even shows that are not sci-fi and fantasy. There are dramas that are also probably just as far out there as almost any sci-fi or fantasy show is. So I feel like Tulsa King falls into that category as far as being wacky, goofy. There's a fun show, another show on a Seth Rogen show that's pretty good, Platonic, on Apple TV. You know, he won a lot of awards for the studio at the Emmy Awards, Seth Rogen and other people who work on that show. And I thought the studio was really good. It's very Hollywood and inside baseball kind of a thing. So I expected it to probably win a lot of awards. Hollywood likes kind of almost rewarding itself. But Platonic, which is now, this is its second season, I think it's just as funny or just as good as the studio. And Seth Rogen's really good in it. What's her name? Rose Byrne is fantastic. She's done a lot of good stuff in recent years. I watched her in, what's that other show? It's set in like the 70s or whatever. That's also, is that one on Apple TV as well? Maybe I'll look it up. I'm going to take one last quick break. I'll come back and talk a little bit about movies, and then we'll wrap things up. I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Connor Trenier. You're listening to Treks in Sci-Fi.
All right, I'm back. Rose Byrne, that other show I was thinking about is called Physical, like the Olivia Newton-John song, because she plays this kind of aerobics instructor person. I've only watched the first season. I think there's 3 seasons of that. Not sci-fi, of course, but I don't know. There's something appealing of watching shows set in the past. And is it, I don't remember if it's late 70s or if it's early 80s. I can't remember the exact time frame for that show, but a lot of nostalgia there in that one. All right, so that's TV, running down what I've been watching. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's anything really television-wise that's coming soon that isn't back on. Oh, I guess Stranger Things, but we're not getting that until, I think the first part of that is Thanksgiving time. I think it's like, is that right? And then the last part is over the Christmas holiday, I think. Boy, they've really, it's been a long time. I never seem to have time to go back and do a rewatch. I don't, you know, what was the last show? There was a show that came back that they did a good recap because I was like, oh, that's all that happened. There was something, I don't know, maybe it was Tulsa King or no, maybe it was the Gen V show. Maybe it was that one. I think it was that one, just because there's a lot of complicated things going on in that show. I think it was that one, because it seemed like it had been a while since the first season. And the same thing with The Boys. It seems like it. I know there's one season still coming, but it's been a long, long haul, long gap. They got to get this streaming stuff down to just a year, year and a half, maybe between seasons. You know, Chris, you know, and I talk about this regularly, but, you know, in the old days of TV, even current television, you know, network television, not streaming, network. There's only a couple of shows that I watch on network. One of them is like The Rookie with Nathan Fillion. And, you know, they'll do more than 10 episodes. They do, these days, 20-ish, I think. And there's, maybe 4 or 5 months, 6 months at most, gaps between seasons, something like that. It's a little bit more than it used to be. It used to be shows regularly were ending in like June and they'd be back in September. That was like it was carved in stone. It was like that for decades. And then things shifted and changed when cable came around and now streaming. That changed all that stuff and everything's all weird. Now shows start at all kinds of different times of the year. There was a lot of stuff actually to watch over the summer. Foundation, you know, that wrapped up. I like that. Did I talk about that on the last? Was it more than 2 weeks ago? I don't remember if I talked about Foundation. I didn't really care for the finale. I know they're doing another season. If I talked about it already, I won't talk much about it now. But there's some things happening in the finale, just kind of like, yeah, really? Okay. But yeah, that's a good show. So, all right, not much on the movie side to talk about, honestly. I am looking forward to Tron: Ares, which will be out in a couple of weeks, I think, before I record again. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think it comes out on like the 9th or the 10th of October. So it'll be just before I record again. So I'll be definitely seeing that right when it comes out. Yeah, even with Jared Leto in it, which everyone seems to just not like that guy. I think he's just not, honestly, a very good actor. I did see him in that show on, I think it was Apple TV, where he played the, I don't remember the guy's name, but it was a real life sort of dramatization of the guy that created those workplaces, those workspaces, whatever it was called. Yeah, so that's real descriptive for you. But I thought he was actually pretty good in that show, a little bit more of a range of acting going on. But, you know, when he does movies, he just seems very one note to me. So I did watch, the most recent thing I watched movie-wise is Freakier Friday. I finally saw that with, that was the sequel to Freaky Friday with Jamie Lee Curtis. And yeah, it was cute. It was fun. It was, you know, very, you know, easy to watch. I was looking for something to kind of, I had watched that movie Weapons, I think a week or so before that, which I think I've talked about. I didn't really care for that movie. Kid stuff, things happening to kids, which, so I was looking for something super, you know, we'll call it popcorny and fluffy and cotton candy kind of a movie. I mean, there's some drama and some serious things in the movie in Freakier Friday, but it's pretty light and pretty lighthearted. So it's not like people being, you know, chopped up or bad things happening too much. So, yeah. And that's about it. Like I said, mostly TV. I haven't really watched, truthfully, a lot of movies. I do want to rewatch. I haven't rewatched the new Superman yet. I need to watch that again. I want to watch the Fantastic Four movie again. Now that they're out on streaming things and on disc as well, you know, for us physical media collectors, which I'm one of those. So although I've fallen kind of behind, and you know what grinds my gears, to use a Peter from the Family Guy show, what bugs me a lot lately about this stuff. I'll give you an example. So the two previous Tron movies, Tron, what was the second one called? Tron whatever. There's Tron and then there's Tron whatever. I'm not even going to look it up. Maybe it'll come to me. That's terrible. Anyway, there was a 2-pack, a 4K version and a 2-pack of that. This happened with Conan, too, in their 4K multi-pack with the two Conan movies. But you can't find it. Like, it just came out. The Tron set I'm talking about right now. And you know, and I'm looking on eBay, $60-something dollars or whatever, upcharge kind of a thing. I probably was 30-ish, you know, for the, I want the 4K of the original Tron and the, I'm going to stop for a second. Tron Legacy, of course. What an obvious name. yeah. So, but they're still putting movies out on disc, but they must be not making very many of them. It's absurd that when something just comes out like that, that it's so limited. It's very annoying to me. And I think the Superman movie, which I haven't bought a physical copy yet, because I think the steelbook of that is sold out. I think you can get a regular one of that one. But it's very, very annoying that this is happening. I need to actually, I guess I need to follow, you know, and we're not even talking about once they're released. We're talking about pre-orders being unavailable. Like, it goes up for pre-order, like on Amazon and Target and Walmart. And then quickly, the pre-orders are sold out. Like, so you need to be able to know not only just when it's coming out, but when is the pre-order going up? It's very bothersome. And like, I've been still, I guess I got to buy it off Mondo or whatever, but I still wanted to buy the Superman, the most recent Superman movie soundtrack on a physical CD. And it's not on Amazon, I don't think. I've looked and I've got to buy it from Mondo, and it's not too bad. It's like 25 for a single CD disc. Plus I don't know whatever shipping costs. It's getting harder and harder to do physical media. And, you know, people will say that it's going to all go away and we're just going to be stuck with whatever the streaming people decide to allow us to watch for whatever limited amount of time. But, yeah, I know physical media can sometimes degrade and eventually fade away too, but I just like, it's the best quality. If you have a good 4K player these days and a good 4K TV and a 4K disc, that is still by far the absolute best way to watch a movie or a television show. If it's available, of course, obviously. Streaming compresses video. I don't care if they say they're showing it to you in 4K. It's still the bit rate, and not to get all technical, but it's still compressed. Visually, it isn't quite the same. Now, yeah, some of them are still look pretty good, but it's still with the other big one is these things are, they go on the services and they go off the services and they're on the service and they're off the service. Hey, this also sprung back into my head, but I was trying to find Strange New Worlds costs and I was seeing things like 8 to 10 million an episode. So that puts them around, you know, maybe 100 million a season, not counting some of their, you know, standing costs. That seems pretty, that seems pretty about what I would have expected. I'm not sure, you know, all these streaming services are raising rates and stuff too. I know I do like Apple TV. I like a lot of the stuff on that channel, and that's going up. It used to be one of the cheapest, and I think it's up to $100 a year. I usually do yearly because it's cheaper, and I watch enough stuff that it's not like I have months where there's nothing that I want to watch that's on the network. If I had a streaming service that I wasn't watching for a couple of months of anything that's on there, I would certainly not do a yearly thing. But, you know, most of them I'm watching shows pretty steadily. So, all right, that's enough blather from me, from Rico, for you this time out. I hope you guys are all doing well. Stay careful, stay safe, stay healthy as best you can. Get out there, take a walk, take the dog out, you know, or cat. You could take cats out, you know. Although I think it's much better to not have a cat that goes out on its own a lot. We've had that in the past. That was a long time ago. Most of our cats in recent times were indoor, although we don't have a cat currently. I joke with our Luna, with our dog. I look at her and I say, Luna, do you want a kitty cat to play with? That would just be, things would break in this house. She would chase that cat relentlessly, I think. I mean, she wouldn't hurt it or do any, you know, she would, Luna's just a big, big fluffy fur ball of fun. You know, she's a big klutz though. So, It'd be like that scene in at the end of Christmas Vacation with the dog chasing the squirrel around the house and everything being smashed. All right, folks, I still pushed practically close to an hour for a show because I can just blather about anything. All right, I'm going to go out and do a little work outside. I'll edit this up later and then get it up today. And I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks after my trip to Texas and get some good Texas food and try not to say y'all, try not to blend in, whatever. But I like Texas. Good people in Texas. Some crazy people there. But you know what? There's some crazy people everywhere, in every state, in every country. But the good definitely still by far outweighs the bad. Keep that in mind. There's 8 billion people in the world, folks. 8 billion. Can you believe it? That's wild. But you don't really hear about 8 billion bad things happening. Thank goodness. Or even a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of that. Yes, I wish nothing bad happened to people like we hear about in the news way too often. But most people are still doing their thing and not doing bad things and hurting other people. So got to always try to keep that in perspective, especially in this day and age. And I'm off my soapbox now. So you guys all take care of yourselves. I'll do the same. And really enjoyed recording, as always. And hope you enjoy listening. Bye.
Space and time, he talks and we believe. With every word, a new world in our hearts he weaves. Ringo's voice in the airwaves, traveling stars in the night. Starfire dreams and fantasies, burning geeky lies.
This has been a Rico Dosti podcast production.